College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
We are waiting. The president is going to speak momentarily at the White House. He had a two-hour phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin. And apparently now peace is at hand, which is a huge thing and would be a great thing and a wonderful thing if that is, in fact, the case. So big show for you today. I'm glad you are with us for it. But I got to tell you, this Biden stuff, man, it really makes me angry. This is the biggest cover up of our lifetime. You know it. I know it. They know it. And we have been so gaslit, and now we're being gaslit again. You got David Axelrod saying we should probably slow walk, talking about Biden's cognitive decline. You got little Brian Stelter out there saying the same thing. Like, well, you know, now that he's got cancer, we shouldn't really talk about this. Biden said he had cancer. He said everybody he knew had cancer. Oh, and at the time, they said it was a gaffe. You remember that? But now apparently, we're either, the story is that they missed the cancer diagnosis, or they're just lying about the cancer diagnosis. In other words, not that he doesn't have it. I'm sure he has it, but that they knew it and then didn't tell us. Because there's no way. Even Zeke Emanuel, prominent physician, Philadelphia, the brother of Rahm Emanuel, the Chicago godfather and former chief of staff to Barack Obama, even he acknowledges and admits and says, by the way, there's no way they could have missed this. You're not going to not do a test on the president of the United States to see if the guy's got. So this is such a scam. Robert Hurt tapes come out on Friday after I get off the air. They come out on Friday and they're devastating, just like you imagine they would be devastating. They show a guy who's lost his friggin' mind. And we knew this. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Biden's got cancer. You can't talk about it anymore. Come on. By the way, this Mexican ship that smashed into the Brooklyn Bridge over the weekend, Senator Chuck Schumer is blaming that on Trump and Doge, obviously. Obviously, it's their fault that this Mexican ship crashed into the Brooklyn Bridge. So clearly it's their fault. I mean, duh. But let's think about the timeline of Joe Biden and this cover up and why they kept this guy in the race as long as they did. They believed from day one he was the only one who could ever beat Trump. They were never going to let us know about his health, not his physical health, not his mental health, nothing. They lied and they hid it and they kept lying and they kept hiding. And now, to Van Jones's credit, Van Jones is out there saying this is a party that needs some serious soul searching and reflection. And you got even Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders even saying today in a podcast that the Democrat Party, it's the whole thing is a scam. It's a scam. It's not about democracy. And he should know they stopped Bernie in 2016 and 2020 and 2024. Stopped his movement dead in its tracks. They were never going to let Bernie get out of that primary. No way. No chance. I mean, not as the winner. I mean, they let him get out of the primary, but they were never going to let me out of the primary as the winner of the Democrats. They would never let him be the nominee because I've told you this before and I'll say it again. The Democrat Party would rather lose with somebody they can control than win with somebody they can't. They're a bunch of control freaks. But we have Biden 2 years ago. He's at this event talking about, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Nobody knew. In Delaware, it's saying he had cancer and everybody he knew had cancer. And at the time we were told, it's just Joe being Joe. It's a gaffe. He's just, he says these things from time to time. He just says it. He doesn't know what he's saying. And we're all supposed to pretend like that's the case. Oh, yeah, Joe just didn't know what he was saying. You know, just going on, just Joe being Joe. I am so tired of this. Let's start with that. Cut number one. This is 2 years ago. It was July of 2022, so 3 years ago. Biden says his mother using windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window is why he has cancer. Cut number one.
And because it was a four-lane highway that was accessible, my mother drove us, and rather than us be able to walk. And guess what? The first frost, you knew what was happening. you had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window. That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer. And why can't, for the longest time, Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation.
That's why I and so many people I grew up with have cancer. And then they said it was a gaffe. A gaffe? Who gaffes about cancer? Who gaffes about cancer? You don't yada yada cancer. You don't yada yada. You don't, cancer. You remember that Seinfeld episode, George, right? You know, it's cancer. So now we're supposed to believe that he, what, just got diagnosed with this really aggressive cancer that's in his bones. And of course, we all pray for him and we wish him the best. Okay, fine. That said, give me a freaking break. That this just happens on Friday when the her interview tapes come out. That's what we're supposed to believe. And you got to give him his time to deal with this. And you should not be talking about the fact that Biden was senile and that the White House and the corporate media covered this up. You should not be doing that. No, don't do that. That's not, because he needs this time to heal. Give me a cut number two. David Axelrod, a guy who's very smart, way too smart to be saying something this stupid. Cut number two.
His announced medical condition now, do you believe that silences or delays a lot of conversations about his, last year and a half of his presidency for now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think those conversations are going to happen, but they should be more muted and set aside now, as he's struggling through this.
Why? Did the conversations make his cancer worse? Did they make it worse? Well, I mean, look, I understand that negativity, and there's a lot of research on the power of positivity when people have cancer. I get all that. But then don't listen to it. But why should we stop talking about it? We're supposed to stop talking about the greatest political cover-up of our entire life. Dom said it earlier, and he's right. Way bigger than Watergate. This is nothing. This is Watergate. That makes Watergate look like, I don't know, like some spilled water on the Resolute desk. And now you didn't use a coaster. Now you got to get it out. You got to stain. We can't talk about it, though, because Biden's got can't. We could deal with it. And we should all slow. We should really now give him his space. These people want to do two things. Number one, distract from the Robert Hur tapes that came out, which we're going to play you. And number two, they want us to stop talking about what is the absolute cover up by people like Jake Tapper and other people who lied to us and told us that we were crazy and we were the problem, that we should not believe our own eyes. Biden was shaking hands with invisible people and he was babbling about whatever he was babbling about. He was fine. He was the best version of Joe Biden ever. Here's Brian Stelter. Little Brian Stelter on CNN. Apparently now we're all supposed to be this stupid to believe this. Cut number three.
The timing, Jessica, is just extraordinary. We know from the statement from his personal spokesman that Biden learned of the diagnosis on Friday. Well, what was the biggest Biden story on Friday? It was the release of those audio excerpts from his conversations with Robert Hur back in 2023. This was the audio that Axios obtained, almost certainly from the Trump administration, showing memory lapses. And you heard a lot of people on Friday talking about that audio being hard to hear, even excruciating to hear, Biden showing his age on those audio tapes that had never been heard by the public until now. So on the day that story was breaking, Biden was facing this personal news. At least that's according to the statement from his personal spokesman. So you have that as one element of the timing here. And then you have, as you and Paul just acknowledged, this book coming out, one of the biggest political books in several years. Take out our colleague Jake Tapper for a second. This book, no matter where it was coming from, was going to be a very big blockbuster book. And it just so happens two of the best reporters in Washington, Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, are the authors of it. It's already a bestseller based on the number of pre-orders. And so this book comes out in 2 days, but some of the excerpts have already come out, and it's reignited this debate in Washington and beyond within the Democratic Party about Biden, about whether he should have run for re-election at all. So it seems to me, Jessica, this debate doesn't end at all, but it is briefly put on pause as a result of today's news.
Why? Why is it on pause? Because they want it to be on pause? Well, we're not going to let them put it on pause. I'm sorry the guy has cancer, but he had it years ago. I heard him say it. He admitted it. Or was that just a mental slip? Was that evidence that he was senile, the fact that he said he had cancer, or did he actually have cancer? Either way, I'm not pausing blank, all right? I am not going to pause for 2 seconds. No way. Absolutely not. The president of the United States of America, the guy who has the nuclear codes, the guy who has the only person, the only one who can launch nuclear war, launch nuclear weapons in this country, the only person, him, up to him, solely up to him, not a committee, not an act of Congress, not I need five of the generals to agree, not I need my VP to agree and the Secretary of the Interior. No, him, just him. That guy had lost his freaking mind, and then everybody's supposed to act like, oh, the debate. Well, that's when we finally figured it out. No, you didn't. You knew before the debate, you liars. But then after the debate, why didn't you 25th Amendment him? Why didn't you remove him from office so that he was not capable of using nuclear weapons? I mean, thank God we were never put in a situation like the Cuban Missile Crisis or something else. Thank God. Thank God. But either way, I'm not pausing. We're not going to pause on this. How does it affect his cancer that he apparently had 3 years ago? He just learned this on Friday. It's so aggressive and in his bones, but nobody saw it. Nobody. Stop. Listen, here is, let me play this for you. This is Dr. Zeke Emanuel. There's no disagreement. Biden had prostate cancer when he was president. You don't believe me? Fine. Don't believe me. I'm not a doctor. I play one on television, but I'm not a doctor. I don't play a doctor on TV. I play a Fox News correspondent on TV. By the way, the president is coming out to speak at the White House. So he's going to come out in just a moment. We'll play that for you. But before he gets out there, let me just play this real quick. Cut number four.
Zeke, you're an oncologist, obviously, incredibly respected. You believe that it is likely, just for those just tuning in, you believe it is likely if this prostate cancer has spread to the bone that he could have had it for up to a decade, but certainly it's likely. Would it be fair to say it's likely to have had this for at least several years?
Oh, more than several years. You don't get prostate cancer.
I just want to stop you. So this is not speculation. If you have prostate cancer that is spread to the bone, then he's most certainly, you were saying, had it when he was president of the United States.
Oh, yeah. He did not develop it in the last 100, 200 days. He had it while he was president. He probably had it at the start of his presidency.
Thank you.
In 2021.
Thank you.
Yes, that I don't think there's any disagreement about that.
Because he told us he had cancer. Play it again, Justin, for me. Cut number one. This is him again saying he had cancer. He told us he had cancer. And then we told, oh, no, it's just Joe being Joe. Well, then he was so freaking senile in 2022 that he didn't have cancer and said he had cancer. No, he had cancer, most likely, as Dr. Zeke Emanuel says, at the start of his presidency. So he was already president when he said that he had cancer. Cut number one.
And because it was a 4-lane highway that was accessible, my mother drove us, and rather than us be able to walk. And guess what? The first frost, you know what was happening. You had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window. That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer. And why can't, for the longest time, Delaware had the highest cancer rate in the nation.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go with Dr. Zeke Emanuel. He's not a fake doctor like Joe Biden. You always have to, Dr. Joe Biden. I always have to tell you, you have to say that by law. It's the law. You have to say that. But he's a real doctor with a medical degree. And a practicing doctor and an oncologist. So he knows cancer. And he said, he had this at the start of his administration. This didn't just happen, but they announce it the same day the Robert Hur tapes come out. And now all these people come out and go, well, you can't talk about it. That's mean. You can't say anything about it. That's mean. How dare you? How dare you talk about Biden's senility now that the guy has cancer? What? One has nothing to do with the other. Nothing. Prostate cancer and being senile are not necessarily connected. They could be, but they're not necessarily connected. But either way, here's what we know. We know that they knew he was sick, and they lied to us, and they covered it up. Because there's no way you miss that. There's no way you miss that. Here's Dr. Zeke Emanuel saying, it's a little strange here that either he didn't have the test or the test results were not disclosed to the public. So what do you think? Cut number five.
Again, if you're a doctor respecting medical ethics, you talk about it with the patient. Do they want this test or not? You talk about the pros and cons. You talk about what the recommendations are of various organizations, including the American Urological Association, yeah, the American Cancer Society. So the ultimate decision is President Biden's. I would say that it is surprising he did not get this test, given the fact that the proclivity of presidential physicians is test more rather than less. And I think it's a little strange.
It's a little strange. It's called a little BS is what it is. Not a little strange. It's a little BS. I've had that test. You've had that test. Every guy over a certain age, you get that test as part of your routine physical. Everybody, give me a break. Give me a freaking break. All right, the president is speaking right now. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll come back and we'll hear from the president. He's got a lot to say right now. This is the Big Story of the Hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. We'll come right back to hear from the president talking about his call with Putin.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
President is speaking right now in the Rose Garden of the White House. They just signed the Take It Down Act, which is an act very important to his wife, First Lady Melania Trump. And he had a two-hour call with President Putin today. So let's take a listen here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thank you for being here on this Monday as we get going for the week. Take a listen.
Young people every single week are being killed. So hopefully we did something. We also spoke to the heads of most of the European nations, and we're trying to get that whole thing wrapped up. What a shame that it ever started in the first place. So, but I want to thank Melania and for your leadership in this very important issue. It's an amazing issue. America is blessed to have such a dedicated and compassionate First Lady. I would tell you she is very dedicated. In fact, if you look at just what I heard, Putin just said they respect your wife a lot. I said, what about me? No, they like Melania better. That wasn't good. I don't know if that was good. I'm okay with it. I'm okay. I also want to congratulate the First Lady in securing $25 million in the first fiscal year, 2026, budget to provide housing and support for youth transitioning out of the foster care. And I can say that she loves children, and you really worked very hard on this, and you had a lot of help from some friends of mine right here. And a lot of the senators are here and congressmen, and I appreciate you all being here. We're also grateful to be joined by people that are just in love with what we're doing. It's such an important situation. And commissioners of the Federal Trade Commission and the CEO of X, Linda Yaccarino. Where are you, Linda? Where are you, Linda? Thank you. Thank you, Linda. Stand up. Thank you, Linda. Great job. You're doing a great job. It's a big deal, right? That's great. Today, it's my honor to officially sign the Take It Down Act into law. It's a big thing, very important, so horrible what takes place. This will be the first ever federal law to combat the distribution of explicit, imaginary, posted without subjects' consent. They take horrible pictures, and I guess sometimes even make up the pictures, and they post it without consent or anything else. And very importantly, this includes for forgeries generated by artificial intelligence known as deepfakes. We've all heard about deepfakes. I have them all the time, but nobody does anything. I asked Pam, can you help me, Pam? She says, no, I'm too busy. Too busy doing other things. Don't worry, you'll survive. But a lot of people don't survive. That's true, and so horrible. With the rise of AI image generation, countless women have been harassed with deepfakes and other explicit images distributed against their will. this is the wrong, and it's just so horribly wrong, and it's a very abusive situation like in some cases people have never seen before, and today we're making it totally illegal. Thank you. Upon hearing the stories of so many women affected, our First Lady made stopping these abuses a top priority, and she was given tremendous support because people, she'd go up to people and talk about it. They say, yeah, we know about it. We have the problem. Can we do something? And she did something about it with the help a lot of the people, especially the political people sitting here today among Melania's guests in the gallery. During my address to the joint session of Congress was a 15-year-old young person, Elliston Berry, whose image was turned into an illicit deep fake by a peer. Elliston, where are you? Are you around? Stand up, darling. That's fine. Beautiful. It's great. Thank you. You look fantastic. Elliston quickly became a powerful advocate committed to preventing other girls from suffering the same abuse. Elliston, we salute you and we thank you very much, and it's an honor to have you with us today. Great, great job you've done. Also with us are several other brave Americans whose lives were rocked by online harassment, including Francesca Manny, as well as a South Carolina State Representative, Brandon Guffey, and his family, who have lost their son to suicide after he was targeted in an internet extortion scam, of which you have a lot of them, a lot. I want to thank you both for your incredible work and to reach this important day. Could you stand up, please? Thank you. Thank you very much. Great job. I've read about it. Thank you very much. It's a real honor to have you here. Because there's no place like the White House, I found out. You know, you have a lot of places, and I just left some of the richest places, and we loved them, and they gave us a nice contribution of about $5 trillion. But this is a special place. Even they talk about it, so it's great to have everybody here. Under the law, I will sign in just a moment. Anyone who intentionally distributes explicit images without the subject's consent will face up to 3 years in prison. In addition, this law establishes new civil liabilities for online platforms that refuse to take these images down promptly upon request. We will not tolerate online sexual exploitation, and especially it's gone on at levels that nobody's ever seen before. It's getting worse and worse, and I think this is going to hopefully stop it. And not easy to do. People talked about all sorts of First Amendment, Second Amendment. They talked about any amendment they could make up. And we got it through because of some very brave people, including some very brave politicians in the audience. I want to thank the bill sponsor, Senator Ted Cruz. Ted, stand up, please. Great. Well, thank you, Ted. It's great. Very effective person. And Congresswoman Maria Salazar, friend of mine. Thank you, Maria. Thank you very much for their amazing work. And thanks also to the 99 senators and 408 members of Congress who voted in favor of the bill. Wow, I wish we could get that vote from other things. We have another bill coming up. Do you think we'll get that vote? Maybe not. We should, but we probably won't. But working with our First Lady, we've shown that bipartisanship is still possible. That's true. With 99 senators, that's incredible. Senator, stand up. Look at that. John, you're here. Look at all of the senators. This is big stuff. I'm in trouble because I don't have your names. They didn't give me these names. We have so many. We have half of the Senate here. Now they're all going to hate me because I can't introduce you. We don't have the time for that. I have to get back to Putin and people. But thank you very much for being here, all of you, and congressmen, a lot of them, and women. Working with our First Lady, though, we've shown that bipartisanship is possible. I mean, it's the first time I've seen such a level of bipartisanship, and it's a beautiful thing to do. I'm not even sure you realize, honey, you know, a lot of the Democrats and Republicans don't get along so well. You've made them get along, and she didn't even know about that. She didn't know we had a problem. She didn't know we had a problem. She got it. But I want to thank you, honey. You've done amazing that this was done when you started. And I said, I don't know, it sounds like a tough one and yet a very important one. And you got it done. So I congratulate you. And I congratulate Ted, Maria, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you. And we'll sign the bill. Thank you.
just waiting to see if the president's going to take any questions regarding his conversation with Putin. He did put out a statement on Truth Social a short time ago.
Come on around. That's beautiful. Come on around. Hey, look at that.
Thank you. Thank
you. You did it.
We're putting out of our gutted.
Thank you. Fantastic. Okay, you ready? Okay, honey, are you signing something? You want to sign it anyway? Come on, sign it anyway. Why the hell? She deserves to sign it.
Why not? Jill Biden was running the country. Dr. Jill Biden. You at least ceremonially sign.
Okay, there we have it.
There we are.
That's a big one.
Don't want to take any questions on this.
Thank you very much, everyone. And you have some pens here. You most importantly, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, are you?
Oh, look at these white pens. I've never seen that before. I want one of them. I've never seen that. Here, Pamela, take that. Take that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
For signing it. Thank you.
Go ahead. Mr. President, let me introduce you to Brandon, who lost his son, Gavin.
Let me get up.
He's a state legislator in South Carolina. He's been incredibly brave. Yes. And his whole family.
Okay, so that is that's the end of that ceremony. No questions regarding Russia. This is what the president said earlier. He said, just completed my two-hour call with President Vladimir Putin of Russia. I believe it went very well. Russia and Ukraine will immediately start negotiations toward a ceasefire and, more importantly, an end to the war. The conditions for that will be negotiated between the two parties, as it can only be, because they know details of a negotiation that nobody else would be aware of. The tone and spirit of the conversation were excellent. If it wasn't, I would say so now rather than later. Russia wants to do large-scale trade, all caps, with the United States when this catastrophic bloodbath is over, and I agree. There is a tremendous opportunity for Russia to create massive amounts of jobs and wealth. Its potential is unlimited. Likewise, Ukraine can be a great beneficiary on trade in the process of rebuilding its country. Negotiations between Russia and Ukraine will begin immediately. I have so informed President Zelensky of Ukraine, Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission, President Emmanuel Macron of France, Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni of Italy, Chancellor Friedrich Merz of Germany, and President Alexander Stubb of Finland during a call with me immediately after the call with President Putin. The Vatican, as represented by the Pope, has stated that it would be very interested in hosting the negotiations. Let the process begin. That is what the president put on Truth Social just a short time ago. So there's some very, very good news there indeed. Okay. Back to the big story of Joe Biden and this ridiculous, absolutely atrocious cover-up of his senility, his cancer, and everything else. Now, if you join me at the beginning, several things to understand. Dr. Zeke Emanuel, prominent physician, said he most likely had this at the start of his presidency. You just don't have cancer that advanced and just learn about it on Friday. But the Robert Hur interview tapes came out, and that's what this is all about. By the way, the Supreme Court ruled today that the Trump administration can end protection for some migrant groups who were given protection by the Biden administration. That ruling came out a short time ago as well. So we'll give you details on that as well. But this is let's get right into the Robert Hur stuff, shall we? Let's get right into the audio of the special counsel. This is, if you remember, Robert Hur was there to talk to Joe Biden about all the documents that he had at his house, in the garage, in the Corvette, the garage where the Corvette was, and everything else. The news outlet Axios obtained the audio of Herr's interviews with Biden, which took place in October of 2023. The recordings were taken over two three-hour interview sessions recorded on October 8th and 9th. In one audio clip, Biden struggles to recall the year his son Beau died. Beau died of brain cancer on May 30th, 2015, at the age of 46. The audio shows that Biden could remember the month and day, but struggled to recall the year until he was prompted by members of the special counsel's team. Biden also gets wrong the year that President Trump was elected to his first term. Biden confuses that year, 2016, with the year that he enters office and Biden leaves the vice presidency, which is 2017. Biden is repeatedly prompted to clarify when he leaves office and Trump enters the White House. This is cut number 8.
So during this time, we were living in Chambers Road, and there were documents related to the Penn Biden Center or the Biden or the Cancer Care Shop or your book. Where did you keep papers that related to those things that you were actively working on?
Well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 18, that period?
Yes, sir.
Remember, in this time frame, my son is either been deployed or is dying. And so it was... And by the way, there were still a lot of people at the time when I got out of the Senate that were encouraging me to run in this period, except the president. They're not a mean thing to say. I mean, he just thought that she had a better shot of winning the presidency than I did. And so I hadn't at this point, even though I'm at Penn, I hadn't walked away from the idea that I might run for office again. So if I were granted in, I'd be running for president. And so what was happening, though, when Beau died, May 30th, 2015.
Yeah, I'm not sure the months are, but I think that was
yeah.
There. That's right, Mr. President.
And what's happened in the meantime is that and Trump gets elected in November of 2016. All right. So, what happened in 2017?
That's when you left office, January.
Okay.
See how much you need to help him? They're all helping him. They're all helping him get through this. But it's devastating to listen to this guy. And this is 2023, October 2023. If you remember, this is around the same time that David Axelrod, who's now telling all of us that we should really not talk about this anymore. It's mean now because Biden has cancer, was telling everybody Biden needs to get out of the race. He can't win. He needs to get out. They need to replace him. You remember that? David Axelrod, who was one of Obama's key advisors, goes to the Obama reunion weekend in Chicago in October of 2023, goes on a tweet storm about how Biden's got to get out of the race. And that's when I told you Biden is done. He would not do that if he did not have the blessing, Axelrod, if he did not have the blessing of Barack Obama. And obviously, he's at the weekend with Barack Obama's, they're there. And so that's when he goes on the tweet storm. And I knew it was over at that point. I said it to you then because they had the goods on the Hunter Biden laptop. So they had the ability to push him out of the race if they wanted to push him out of the race. And they wanted to push him out of the race. So it was, I knew it was over at that point. But think of how bad this sounds. Think of how bad this sounds on every single level here for Joe Biden. And now we're told that we should slow roll this and not talk about it and blah, blah, blah. Van Jones, on CNN, to his credit, cut number seven, to his credit, says, you know what, this party has to do some serious soul searching here, because they have been lying and covering this up this entire time. Take a listen.
It was a deep internal reflection. I do not see that happening. I see people, rather than reorganizing, rethink, our Center for American Progress took off in 2005 and came up with a new set of ideas for Democrats. That has to happen. Before we get out here and start trying to tell people how, you know, why they should like us, we need to look in the mirror, reorganize ourselves, get bad people and bad ideas out of the way, and then we'll be able to come forward in the midterm. But right now, we need to apologize to the American people that we were part of something that wasn't on the up and up.
You need to do more than apologize, pal, because I know what you're thinking you're going to do with your apology. What you're thinking is you're thinking that everybody's going to forgive you. Just like they said with COVID, can we forgive and forget? No, we can't. We're not going to forget, and we're certainly not going to forgive. We're not going to forget what you people did, and we're not going to forgive you, even if you say sorry. He's right. They should say sorry, and you could say sorry, but it doesn't mean I have to forgive you. You could say it. Like, you know, I mean, you come home, you catch your wife, a stranger, the closet with a guy like in old school. You can forget, but it doesn't mean you have to forget. And it doesn't mean you have to forgive her, even if she says sorry. She didn't really mean it, obviously. Very funny scene in the movie, but no, but you know. You see, Van Jones acknowledges that the Democrat base, the trust with them is completely and utterly shattered and broken. And it is. And they got a long way to go to rebuild that. A long way to go. But listen, I'll tell you about my great friends over at Tri-County. I'm really excited about their partnership with our show. And I'm super excited about the amazing American cars that they have available for you, because they have some really amazing ones in stock. And they have just outstanding people with terrific service. Tri-County Auto Group, and you should become friends with them too. Brian Krieger and his team, they have Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram dealership, and right next door is their Toyota dealership as well. They're right in Limerick, down the street from King of Prussia, super close to Exton, Downingtown, Collegeville, right off 422. Now, I have a Jeep. I love it. Today, took the top off, driving around, beautiful. The Wrangler, you can't beat the Wrangler. It's fantastic. And at Tri-County for Life, some of the things you're going to get: engine and powertrain guaranteed for a lifetime, parts and service guaranteed for a lifetime, rental cars on site, free shuttle service. They have the Tri-County Advantage Program. 10% of all customer paid service and parts invoices will be saved and applied toward the purchase of your next vehicle. 5% towards 30,000 mile interval service, 5% towards brakes and tires. Employee pricing for everybody at Tri-County Auto Group. What you want to do right now, they've got a ton of great cars in stock. They have a great selection of Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles in stock. Go see Brian and his team today. And go to tricounty.com and check out their selection right online. Tricounty.com. They have three locations, but one priority, and that's you. So I want you to go see them today. I love this kind of partnership. I love the fact that they're going to take great care of you. And I love the fact that there's never been a better time to drive American, right? Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, beautiful cars, employee pricing, amazing specials. It's all there. Go to tricounty.com, tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Robert Hurst stuff is devastating. They should have used the 25th Amendment of the Constitution to remove Joe Biden, but they thought he was the only guy that could beat Trump. So they didn't, and they compromised national security, they compromised world security. I mean, God, could you imagine all the things that could have gone wrong with this senile old man? And you know what? Him having cancer doesn't change that fact. It doesn't change that fact. There are a lot of bad things that happen to people in this world. And you can feel sorry for them and at the same time acknowledge that they should not have been president because they did not have the mind to be president. Now, if he had just had cancer, that'd be a completely different thing. Yeah, if you have cancer, you can still be president. You can still do the job. If you lose your mind because you're senile, you can't. That's the distinction, and there's nothing mean about that. There's nothing mean about what's mean is lying to the American people and risking potential nuclear annihilation because you got a guy in there who can't remember years, dates, events. And look, I understand people make mistakes all the time. You don't know when the election was. You've been in politics since you were 12. And they all have to help him. They all got to help him get through it. And that's why the special counsel acknowledges Joe Biden was this kind, senile old man who couldn't remember anything, but would probably not get convicted by a jury. But you can't ignore this on this audio of Robert Herr. But I want to go back to, I played this clip earlier. I want to play it again. Dr. Zeke Emanuel, because I'm not buying this story for a second that this prostate cancer diagnosis is new. This is done to make you stop talking about it. It's supposed to in some way. I don't know why. I guess in somehow you're supposed to feel guilty. If you talk about the fact that Joe Biden was senile now that he has cancer, no. First of all, he doesn't now just have cancer. That's A. But B, one has nothing to do with the other. One is prostate cancer and the other is dementia. And sometimes people have both, but they have nothing to do with the other. Nothing. And so I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, oh, well, now, you know, because he has cancer, then they're finally telling us that we should stop talking about the greatest political cover-up of our lifetime. Why? Why? You know, if they come out and said Biden has a brain tumor, I'd be saying the exact same thing I'm saying. Well, then that explains how he couldn't remember things, and that explains why he lost his mind. And I'm sorry he has a brain tumor, but it doesn't change the fact that they knew it and they covered it up. It doesn't change the fact. You can feel sorry for him. You can feel sorry that he has cancer. You can pray for him. You can do all those things. But you don't let the guy off the hook. I'm sorry. Last time I checked, there are people in prison who have cancer, terminal illnesses. There are people who, and we show them mercy and we show them compassion. But it doesn't change the fact that they did something wrong. In this case now, it wasn't just the president who did something wrong. It was the entire White House and the press corps and everybody else who covered this up. And I'm sorry, put our entire country at risk because this guy has the nuclear codes. And don't sit here and act like, well, no, now you're just being mean. I was told I was mean when I said John Fetterman should not run for Senate, and now every Democrat's saying it because they don't like John Fetterman's policies. The Democrats are very good at deciding when it's no longer mean to talk about something. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We'll come right back. We got a lot to talk about, including this revelation about Biden's cancer and the cover-up associated with that. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
a three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.